Good afternoon. It is good to be together again. We will be continuing in Galatians chapter 6. Appreciate Cody reading our scripture for us. He did a fine job. As we continue, I am going to reach back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 for just a second, and we'll hurry along. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, we looked at for just a second this morning. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Within this examining is the idea of testing, proving. When you consider what it means to test or to prove, you consider all the things in the world that you have to prove. If you want to prove that your truck will pull far more weight than what it says it will, then you load it up with concrete blocks and you drive it home and just see if it'll make it. When you test that new car to see how fast it is, you go out to the quarter mile track. And if I saw Walter, he'd tell you something about it. And you go ahead and you watch the light turn green. And then you zip down the track as fast as possible, getting your new time. Within the testing or the examining in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, we have to test ourselves. We hold it up against something. You look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, and we recognize that they held it up in comparison to the truth. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, he said, to the law and the testimony. There's your measuring stick. Ooh, I don't use that word. There's your stick, your ruler that you go up against. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to the word, to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Compare it to the law, and then you will know that it is right, it is proper, or it needs to be discarded. You look back at the examination of oneself in Galatians chapter 6, and as we compare ourselves against that of God's word, we can know whether we are what God would have us to be. Think about John chapter 12 and verse 48 as we're held up against the standard. He said, the word that I've spoken at the end of verse 48, Jesus speaking there, the same will judge him. In the last day, we're going to be judged according to the written word. And so we must examine ourselves. We must consider, do we fit the pattern? Are we according to what God has called for? James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. What did they compare themselves to? That perfect law of liberty. He said that individual is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He said, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we have a standard that we must be compared with. The standard has knowledge of the heart. I think of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it talks about the word, knowing the thoughts and intents, knowing the purpose, not just the action, but rather the inner meaning, the purpose behind what took place. Just yesterday, Charlie, in dealing with Jude, was trying to get a piece of popcorn back, and she just wanted to taste it before she gave it back to him. Of course, Jude wanted to show me how big the piece of popcorn was. God, knowing the thoughts and intents of the heart, would know that Charlie didn't mean anything bad. However, when Jude had asked for the popcorn back, you gotta go ahead and return it as is so that it could be showed off, because it was a big piece. I'm just here to tell you, and I only saw the piece after the bite. All right. God knows the thoughts and the intents. He knows the purpose behind what you did, not just the action that took place. If one's life lines up with God's word, with the standard, then there can be an assurance. There can be a gladness or a satisfaction in their salvation. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end, you can stand secure and safe, knowing that you are a part of that house, that you're a part of Christ and what he desires." Drop down to verse 14. It says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." You see the continual life and working of a Christian. As you go back to Galatians chapter 6, in verse 5, the point being that each one gave an account for their deeds. They gave an account individually for what had been done. And so they give an account to God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 says, "For each one shall bear his own load." You know, I think about Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, where he talks about the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, nor the father the iniquity of the son, but each one according as he has done. All right, I'm not going to be condemned to hell. I'm not going to make it to heaven based off what my father did, but rather, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, each one shall bear his own load. Each one will give an account for their action, for their deeds. In 1 John chapter 3, if you drop down to verse 20, it says, "For if our heart condemns us, for if our heart condemns us ourselves, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." We see our deeds result in our exaltation, or our deeds result in us being condemned. Each one will give an account to God for the actions that are done. In Romans chapter 14, you drop down to verse 12, he says, So then each one shall give an account of himself to God. You see in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, the importance of examining self, the importance of examining my actions and my deeds. And then you go down as we talk about deeds and works. We see there being generous. Verse 6, "Let him who is taught in the word," this is Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Now this is in opposition to the idea of only caring about oneself. It's completely separate than recognizing, well, it's all about me. It's not the conceited attitude, but rather it's a understanding that there is joy for each other. So we have the one that was taught in that they received the greatest gift, in that knowing the message of Christ could provide life for them, in knowing that they could then enjoy salvation and forgiveness. He said at the end of the verse, "Let them share in all good things." Now we think about specifically, monetarily, they would have had a certain debt or indebtedness that they felt to the teacher for sharing this grand message. You know, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, we had the rich young ruler, and he had something quite the opposite on his mind. The rich young ruler was not worried about the world. He was not worried about those who were around him, but rather, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, he said, "So this is what I'll do." He said, "I'll pull down my barns," verse 18, "I'll be greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods." You drop down into verse 19, and he said, "And I will say to my soul," listen, "I, my, me, myself. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods. Congratulations, so to speak. He said, laid up for many years. And he has to get back to himself. Take your ease. Good job, soul. You have done so well. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Was he worried about the others? Was he worried about anyone else? Or was he self-absorbed? Galatians chapter 6, it calls for us to be generous. Verse 7 in Galatians is to not let us be fooled into believing that we don't have to do anything. Don't let us be fooled into believing that, hey, it's all about me. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. You are going to reap in accordance with how you chose to sow. With how you had done, so will take place your reaping. So the idea is, don't get worn out in doing good. You know, I wonder sometimes if people don't get worn out in the idea that, you know, well, I've lived for 35 years and I have studied my entire life believing that Jesus would come back, and yet he's still not here. Maybe he decided not to come. Maybe he forgot us. Galatians chapter 6, he says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Don't let these evil thoughts creep into your mind and say, you know what, I don't need to continue. I've done a lot of work for all these years, said the rich young ruler. You know, I lived my life and I worked hard as a Christian for a long time. Take thine ease. Eat, be drink, and be merry. And then ultimately we see that his soul was required of him. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 through 11, it talks about the laborer being worthy of his hire. And this laborer in verse 7 is supposed to be out sowing. The laborer in verse 7 is supposed to be putting in the work because he's looking forward to the harvest. If you have a garden, there's a good chance it's a great time of year. Isn't that right, Miss Diane? Because it's harvest season. Your labors, they come to fruition. You get to see them. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man puts in, that shall he also get out. If you put very little into your Christian life, you better expect to get very little out. Some might think that since ungodliness doesn't result in immediate judgment, since it doesn't result in people being struck dead right now, how did God let them get away with that? Well, since that didn't happen, they say, well, it surely won't be the case. Well, don't worry. It's not really a new thought. It's been thought for a long time. If you go back to Numbers, in Numbers chapter 32, in verse 23, people get caught up in, well, so much time has passed. He says in verse 23, if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord. He says, and be sure your sins will find you out. You know, just because there isn't an immediate judgment doesn't mean the judgment won't take place. It doesn't mean that God doesn't know and God won't hold you responsible for your actions. So let us not grow weary in doing good. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, you drop down to verse 11. It says, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It says, well, I've got away with it this long. I've been doing wrong all this time, and look at me now. I'm still walking around. I'm able to run. I'm breathing and happy. We've got food on our table. He says in verse 11, because it'd been working out, it says, the son of men, their heart was fully turned over to do evil. They said, well, since God hasn't struck me dead, I'm really going to give it a go. And that's the problem with sin, is as people let it creep into their life, it starts in one spot and then it gets easier and easier until their heart is fully turned over to evil. But back in Numbers chapter 32, be sure your sins will find you out. There's a day in which the ledger will be read. There's a day in which your deeds will be recognized. And there in Galatians chapter 6, he talks about their generosity. He said, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things. And he goes on to say, but don't be deceived. Whatever you do, God is not mocked. Whatever you do, as you sow, you shall reap. And within that same context, you get down to verse 8 as he's told him to be generous to one. He says in verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The works of the righteous led to their inheritance. If you look at Matthew chapter 25, drop down verse 34, and then ultimately in verse 40, where he says, even as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, he said, you did it to me. He said, your deeds were proper. Your deeds were shown, were evidence of the faith that they had. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. You see the work for the saints. For God is not unjust to forget your work, what you sowed. Just as you had sown, he says, God is not unjust to forget your work and the labor of love which you have shown toward his name. He said, in that you have ministered to the saints. And he continues and says, and do minister. And actively they work. The work of the saints. Revelation chapter 22, one more verse. As we consider being generous, in verse 14, he says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Blessed are those who do what he says. Those who sow according to what he said to sow. Those that live generously. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Those that examine themselves, comparing themselves to God's word. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. Those that care for their brother. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. And finally, the thought being in Galatians chapter 6, continuing in doing good. Let your works be an active part of your lifestyle. As we look at verse 9, the title and the theme for the lesson, let us not grow weary in well-doing. I know you've worked a long time. I know that you got so excited as you committed to Christ. And it could be that fire starts to wane. that fire needs to be fed. He said, let us not grow weary while doing good. Do I really have to go help them today? I mean, it was a long day. I've already worked at work today. Do I really need to do more good right now? I'm tired. It's somebody else's turn. Let us not grow weary while doing good, because he says, in due season, when the time is right, there will come a point at which you will reap a hundredfold. You will receive far more than your worth, far more than the work that you feel like you have done. You'll be rewarded for it. Within these works, I think about works that are done both individually or collectively. Good deeds are done to those inside the church and those that are outside of Christ. You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, he says, for the administration of this service, and not only supplies the needs of the saints, so they're talking about the collection that they had taken up. It not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. He says, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all. God recognized what they had done. The deeds that were done to those who were in Christ, to them individually, as well as to others. Christians individually shared in the needs of their brothers. In 1 John chapter 3, you drop down to verse 17, it says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. The reaping that took place is a reference to that of eternal life for us one day. You know, there's a lot of things that we might do that go unnoticed. Praise be to God for it. There's a lot of things that we do that no one's ever going to hear about. Praise be to God for it. If you never got a thank you, I want to say thank you. If you never got a pat on the back, this is your pat on the back. But remember, don't grow weary in doing good because you feel like it was overlooked. Don't grow weary in doing good because that small task seemed insignificant. Don't grow weary in doing good because the Lord recognizes your good works. Matthew chapter 25, when they give an account for their good works, they said, well, when did I do something good? When did I do any of that for you, Jesus? The reaping that takes place in Galatians chapter 6, he says, those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And there will be no reaping that could be better than that. Don't grow weary in doing good. To grow weary is to faint or to allow something to sidetrack us. You know, that's exactly what Satan wants to do. We talk about the wiles of the devil earlier this morning. We look at Satan's desire that we fall. We see the warning to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. Then we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, listen, we do not lose heart. Keep on a going. Keep on a working. Your reward is in store. He goes on to say in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man. He says, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. He said, we got something far greater. He said, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Let us be working for our Lord. Don't let life get you down, but recognize that the cross was carried by Christ. He did it once and for all, and he did it for us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, for consider Christ, who endured such hostility from sinners. Look back at his life. Maybe you heard something about it during VBS. Look back at the way he lived. Look back at the temptations in Matthew chapter 4. Look at his reply. He says, it is written. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3 says, for consider Christ. Consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself. Think about Christ as he carried his cross. Or Christ as he hung on the cross. And he cried, Father, forgive them. Now you've got the picture. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Don't let life get you down. Jesus went through to the end. And so can you. Think of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Where the idea is, look, even in the face of death, no matter what comes your way, he says, be thou faithful even to the point that you have to die for him. Be faithful unto death. And I will give you a crown of life. We see that everlasting life. To lose heart is to have labored in vain. What's it really worth if we've been a Christian for 10 years and we turn our back? What's it really worth if we've longed to be with the Lord and we've worked diligently and we turn around? You know, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Think about Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. One of the shortest verses in the Bible. Remember Lot's wife. To look forward and to live for Christ and to give it up would simply be foolish. So he says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, right as he's fixing to say his goodbyes and his thank yous, as he closes out the book, he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, listen, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's no reason to give up now. There's only reason to work harder. There's no reason to turn back now, but there's only reason to be even more diligent Because let us not grow weary in well-doing. And he closes it down. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. If you're not a Christian, I ask you, why not? Why would you walk away from the greatest blessing that the world has to offer? The purpose of being here, to fear God and keep His commandments. Or if you are a Christian and you've just grown tired, you've grown weary, you're worn out on doing good, he said, dust your shoulders back up, off. Get back up and get going for the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're not a Christian, understanding that Jesus is the Christ, being willing to confess His name, to turn from the world, the sin that is in our lives, making a commitment to live for Him, confessing Him before men, telling everybody you know about the great I Am. Being willing to be buried in the waters, and Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, rising to walk in a different way. You can begin that life in Christ where we abound in the work of the Lord. So I tell you one night, one more time, let us not grow weary in doing good. If you're not a Christian, the time is now. Please come as we stand and sing.